Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless y'all for tuning in. And we have a special broadcast today because we have a special friend that is just calling us right now. And the phone was ringing in the DJ booth, and I was getting ready, and I'm like, okay, I don't even know if I answered it correct. Did I say the station or Rev Media Network, brother? I think I just said station. Well, this is Matt Tomney, correct? Matt Tomney.
Yes, that's right.
And he is a unique individual, and I like him because he reminds me of myself in a way. You try and get the best out of others, amen?
Amen.
And I love that about you. He's written a book called Unlocking the Heart of the Artist. He does a lot of things. He has conferences coming up. Called Unlocking the Heart of the Artist Conference, and that's going to be in Asheville, North Carolina, and then the Gatherings of the Artisans. How do you say it? Am I saying it wrong?
Yeah, Gathering of the Artisans.
Artisans.
In Asheville, North Carolina, in this fall, so yeah.
Oh, wow. See, now this man has a heart for unlocking the gifts that are inside people, and I love that because with the broadcasting that we do, I'm always telling people if they can open up something different in their heart, if they can just try to go a little further than what they think. Because we limit ourselves, don't we, brother?
That's right. That's right. A lot of times we just believe the lie that the enemy wants to put in our mind, and we go that way for a long time, especially creative people do that. So.
Oh, amen. Well, tell us about your book. First, give us a little background about yourself and how did you get to writing this book, and then we'll talk about the book.
Yeah, sure. Well, I grew up like a lot of folks in the church my whole life. My mom's been a Methodist choir director for seemed like 100 years. So I grew up under a piano and singing in church and doing all that, and at an early age really sensed a call to ministry, and have been a worship pastor most of my professional life. In addition to being a visual artist, I'm involved in fine craft. I'm a basket maker, and so I do a lot of fiber art with natural materials and recycled materials and that sort of thing. So really have had my hand in the arts for a long time, and began to, I guess early on, experience a lot of the same struggles that most creative people do, and really my struggle of brokenness and just my whole journey into what it meant to be a creative person in the kingdom was the impetus for the book that I wrote, and now for our ministry called The Worship Studio. So,
amen. And The Worship Studio, I like the title there.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, so my, my story really, growing up in the church and that sort of thing, like I said, I felt a call early on, to ministry, and at the same time, I always tell people, just like God has this incredible plan for your life to release His glory, through your creativity, whatever that may be, whether you're a painter or a potter or a poet or a songwriter or a musician or whatever, just like God's got a plan for you, so does the enemy. And about the time that I was, 11, 12, 13 years old, I really just started going through this, what I called the perfect storm, which is just this time where the enemy really just began to zero in on me. And as I was kind of growing up as a young man, beginning to sense what God was doing in my life as a musician and creative person and wanting to serve Him, I began to just have a lot of different difficulties with my dad at home. We just really had a difficult relationship. Praise God, it's restored now. But, there's a lot of adolescents just going through a lot of issues with that, and of anger issues, and struggling with him. And then my grandpa died, which I was very close to. My piano teacher ended up passing away, which was very difficult. And around the same time of that, one of my family members began to subject me to sexual abuse about the time I was 11 years old. And all of this just kind of came together, and really, I just, I tell people the enemy had his sights on me, wanted to take me out because he knew the calling and the destiny that was on my life, just like many creative people. And it set me up for just a major struggle of trying to balance this idea of what does it mean to love God and sense a call to ministry and sense a call to creativity in the kingdom, and yet at the same time be struggling with shame and fear. And it led me into this double lifestyle of pornography addiction, of same-sex attraction, and I didn't know if I was gay, if I was straight. I was just really struggling and lived this lifestyle, this double lifestyle, for many, many years, both in college and then as I got married. I thought, well, hey, if I'll just get married, things will be better, and it just pushed it deeper. And it wasn't until I was really began to get in relationship with some safe people at a church that I was serving and said, hey, you know, I've never told anybody this, but, you know, 20-something years ago, I was sexually abused, and began to walk through the healing process. Now, over 10 years walking that road, it was that process that I call this unlocking process. And what the enemy had tried to lock up and shut down, God wanted to release and bring wholeness and healing in those areas and release me into the fullness that he's called me to. So,
amen.
I know that's a lot of information in a little bit.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome that you work with your hands, but also that you know that God took those problems and those situations to show you something that you can reveal to everyone else, and that is that there's something that needs to be unlocked in you.
That's right.
And tell us what is the importance for the artist to understand their calling in the kingdom of God?
Well, you know, I think most creative people are really struggled, many of us, being in the church, because, you know, a lot of times church can be about following the rules and keeping it in the lines, and, you know, and we're by nature, you know, people that think outside the box and you know, color outside of the lines and that sort of thing. And most creative people that I find are either, when they're in the church, they're either shut down, they're not able to really flow in the fullness of what they feel like God's called them to, or because maybe a bad experience or something like I went through, they've just totally jettisoned God and the church and their relationship, their spiritual life, and they've just kind of gone into this whole humanistic thing and of just kind of creativity for creativity's sake and just kind of trying to push the envelope on artistic expression. And, you know, the importance of people understanding who they are is realizing that, you know, they're not weird. First of all, the very things, the very nuances that creative people think that make them weird, that make them unapproachable sometimes, that make them misunderstood sometimes, I believe are the very things that God has given us to release his glory in the earth. And it's a matter of taking the unique giftings and the unique design that he's given us, and just like everything in our life, submitting that to the Lordship of Christ and allowing him to breathe life into that which he's given us. And it's really there that we find the ultimate satisfaction creativity, you know, creatively, and the ultimate satisfaction in our spiritual life as well. So,
absolutely. You know, God's given us creativity. I mean, he created the earth. He had to be creative with some of those animals and some of the characters that we see walking around this planet. So it's in us. It's part of our DNA to be creative. It's part of what we're supposed to be. And
that's right.
And
I often say we were created by the Creator to be creative.
And that's a good way to say it.
You know, being the Creator, that was the first way that he revealed himself to humanity, and he's still doing the same thing now. And as one's created in his image, you know, we have that same DNA inside of us to release the glory of God in the earth. So
now you see artists all the time, of course, because I mean you're familiar with them and you visit with them as well. Can you tell me the difference between one that's just playing a song and then one that really they're just getting out there in their heart, opening it up? Can you tell yourself since you've been through this?
Sure, I think there's this level where we can, all creative people can just operate in talent and in a level of, you know, just their skill. But I call it being, you know, in Exodus 31, we see this picture of a guy, Bezalel, who was the one that Moses selected to build the tabernacle. And it says, first of all, that's the first person in the Bible that it says that was filled with the Spirit of God, was artist, so that's cool. And it says that he was not only filled with the Spirit of God, but that he was also filled with every manner of skill and workmanship that he needed. And he worked in glass and metal and fiber and all this sort of thing. And so it's not just enough to be talented. You know, no matter how talented somebody is, somebody told me one time, your talent will take you where your character can't keep you. And it's not enough just to be talented. We've got to have the character, and we've got to have the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and that's where the life comes.
Amen.
You know, I often tell people, you know, Adam was just a pile of mud, you know, before the life of God came into him. You know, he was probably beautifully curated, but there was nothing different from him than just a statue, just taking some clay and forming it in a way. But it was the life of God that made the difference, and it brought transformation. And so the same thing happens with us. When we operate as these vessels, we become a conduit for the glory of God, for the life of God to flow through us, whatever it is. And that's where transformation can begin to happen through creative expression, whatever that may look like.
So. Amen. You know, in Proverbs 8:12, it says, that, you know, find out knowledge of witty inventions.
That's right. That's right.
And God wants you to find the knowledge of witty inventions. He wants to put witty inventions inside of you, regardless if it's craft or if it's music or if it's making movies or whatever. You know, it takes someone just to go and think outside the box. And like you were saying earlier, sometimes you may feel like you're a little off or a little weird. And, you know, it's good to be off and good to be weird, because that's where the creativity is going to happen when you just allow yourself to grow in your faith and in your love with God. And He can take anything. Amen, brother?
That's right. And it's those very sensitivities that God's given us to not only feel what's going on in the earth, but also in the spirit realm, and to really be able to pull. I always tell people it's kind of like a big hurricane going on. You know, God's always, He's always speaking. He's always moving. There's this swirl going on in the spirit of creativity. And our job as artists, we get to just stick our spiritual hands up in that swirl, you know, and pull down those things which the Lord shows us. And it's those sensitivities that, you know, are the things that God's given us, but it's also those sensitivities that are the very things that the enemy wants to exploit. And so I think that's why we're so passionate at the worship studio about seeing people walking in healing and wholeness, because you got a lot of talented people out there, especially in the church, that are just kind of doing the religious thing, trying to keep it in the lines, when in reality they may be living in defeat and shame and fear and all the other stuff that the enemy's got on them, and not really able to walk in the fullness of what God's got. So,
amen. Now, why is it so important for the church to care about the calling of artists?
Well, you know, we've always been the ones, you know, that God releases as forerunners. You know, you can look all through the Word, and every time you see, and even in modern history, every time you see a modern or an ancient revival, there's always a release of creativity. There's always a release of new songs. And so we're the ones that God has called in this prophetic sort of manner to release a sound, to release His power and His presence, to give vision for what people need to see for the next season that God's doing. And so it's really vital that what creativity does is we're able to translate, I guess, the things that are going on to heaven into ways and modes, mediums, if you will, that people can understand. And, you know, God's always used creative people like that. In the prophets, you know, He had them laying on their side and taking sticks and throwing them down. And, you know, Jesus is taking mud and making a mud ball into an eyeball. And, you know, the disciples are praying over prayer cloths and people are getting healed. He's always used, you know, odd objects and creative things, creative ways, the parables, you know. It's about getting the message of the kingdom into a package that people can understand. And ultimately, that was the whole thing. That's who Jesus was. You know, Jesus came in a package that people could understand and relate to. And God's still doing the same thing today through us as artists. So,
amen and amen. You know, let's talk about your book just for a few minutes. And
sure.
There's three chapters there that I was looking through, and you can comment on either one of them or all of them. It's Release the Dreamer, collaborating in the kingdom.
Yes.
Develop your unique prophetic voice. I love the title on that one. And then Prospering Artists, Not Starving Artists. Now those just caught my eye. So tell us
sure,
a little about
sure.
You can tell us a little about each of those if you'd like.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think, you know, the whole starving artist thing, that's one of the things that the Lord has really made me passionate about. As I was studying, you know, several years ago, just about this whole idea of what does it mean to prosper as a creative person in the kingdom. You know, everybody growing up, I've always heard, you know, well, if you're an artist, you just need to get a real job, and, you know, you can't really support yourself doing that, and, you know, artists are flaky, and you just need to get used to not making a lot of money. And I was like, now, Lord, is that you, or is that just another lie from the enemy? And He took me to Genesis 4, and I began to read the story of Cain and Abel. And I was like, now, Lord, why have you got me here in Cain and Abel? He's like, well, just listen. And I started reading about Cain and Abel, and Cain, you'll realize as you read in the story, was actually the great, 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 great five generations, the great-great-grandfather of all creative people. And because, so what happened with Cain when he began to get jealous and had, you know, he's like a lot of musicians and creative people, had jealousy issues, authority issues, he had control issues, you know. He had this wandering kind of thing. And when he killed Abel, one of the curses that came upon Cain was that the more that he tilled the ground, the less it was going to produce. And that he was going to be wandering, he'd be banished from the presence of the Lord, which is not prospering, that's just this starving, you know, kind of thing. Well, the Lord showed me that if you look in, it says later on in the story, it goes through the genealogy of Cain and Abel and Cain's family, and out of Cain's line in the fifth generation, the Lord released two guys out of his line. One was named Jubal, which it says was the father of all musicians, and one was Tubal-Cain, which it says is the father of all craftsmen and all that worked in metal and iron and all that. And I'm like, you know, even though Cain messed it up, the Lord's desire for creative people was not going to be thwarted, and he released that double portion blessing of creativity in that fifth generation. You know, favor and grace is, you know, the number five. He released that double portion blessing, and the next ones, artists that we see and creative people that we see in the Word, are Bezalel and Aholiab, and then we see Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman in the Tabernacle of David. And we begin to see these prospering artists who, you know, when you read the story of in Exodus 31 about the tabernacle, in Exodus 36, there's a little passage in there that talks about the artist had to actually go to Moses, and it says that Moses had to restrain the people from giving because they were bringing too much money for the work, the building of the tabernacle. And I'm like, see, our God is a God of more than enough, absolutely, not just of scraping by. And then I began to really understand, you know, in Matthew 5 and 6, when Jesus is talking about, you know, why are you worried about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear, what you're going to do, you know, this or that. I clothe the birds of the field. How much more am I going to clothe you? And I began to understand that for all of us, but especially creative people, our provision does not come from the things that we do or how good people say we are or even how hard we work. Our provision comes from the Lord as a promise because we're His sons and daughters.
Amen.
And when we can begin to operate in that, then the next section of Scripture that goes into is Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And it's like the Lord began to say, listen, if you will begin to hone in on how I've uniquely created you, how I've called you to release the kingdom in your life, if you'll seek that, if you'll try to figure out that with me, then all this other stuff that you've been trying to figure out, all the provision, trying to figure out how you're going to make money and sell your work and all this, all of that stuff will begin to come as you zone in on what it is that how I've created you. And that was my story. You know, the more that I began to be true to who God had created me to be, the more I begin to see the doors of favor open up. My work would sell. I begin to get favor with exhibits.
Amen.
You know, 2 years ago, the Smithsonian recognized me as an American artist under 40 for my work that came totally out of a divine appointment, a series of divine appointments that the Lord set up. And so it's just this walking in favor, and you begin to move out of this whole starving artist, how am I going to make it lie, into this prospering place that the Lord has for all of us in the kingdom.
So, amen. God is your source, and you just you can't take your mind off of that. The things we do are we're being faithful when we put our music out or when we put our books out, and God is our source, not our books, not our music, not anything else that we do, but God is. And as we give to God and as we are faithful and His favor falls on us, it's going to bless us.
That's right. That's right. So the whole thing, and then, you know, you mentioned the you know, developing your unique prophetic voice and co-laboring with the Father and all that. That really, for me, then, is the crux of how to prosper as an artist, because it's as we learn how to be both filled and skilled, how we learn to, you know, live and move in the presence of the Lord in our work, and at the same time operate at a high skill level at what we do. We've got to be good stewards of what God's called us to do. It's in that co-laboring relationship that the uniqueness of how God has created us begins to come forth in our life. And, you know, for me, I've been a basket maker for about 20 years. I started right in the time I was in college. I'm 38 now. And the more that I did that, the more I knew that the Lord would speak to me when I was out in the woods, he would really, you know, I would just have these intense encounters with him. I could really feel him in while I was weaving and while I was doing the things. And he told me one day, he said, what you're doing has a redemptive quality to it. He said, I'm calling your work, your baskets, to be a redemptive picture of my work in the earth. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he said, you know, all those vines and all that tree bark and all the recycled stuff that everybody throws away that you turn into beautiful stuff and you sell for hundreds of dollars. He said, I do the same thing. He said, I take people stuff that people just call junk, and I turn it into, I redeem it, and I turn it into beauty. And so he began to show me that my work, my basketry, not just my music, which had always been the church thing, the thing that everybody thought about, but my basketry, he said, that is really a beautiful redemptive picture of my work in the earth. And as you press into that, I'm going to allow you to be a minister of that redemption and that reconciliation wherever your baskets go. And so what a unique prophetic voice that God's given me, and yet it was something that I never would have thought of. But as I've co-labored with him, as I've really, you know, invested in his presence in my life, that voice in my creativity has come forward, and the provisions come forward, and the favors come forward. And I'm at this place in my life at 38 years old where I'm like, I'm really living the dream. I'm doing everything that I feel like God has called me to do in fullness with no lack, and it's a beautiful situation. So,
amen. Brother, real quickly, what three main roadblocks are there out there for the creative artists?
I think that the main roadblocks that come up to artists are the same things that Jesus went through in the wilderness. It's the lies that the enemy wants to come about your provision, you know, who's going to take care of you. It's about your performance, you know, what have you got to do for people to love you and like you and all that sort of thing. And it's about your identity, you know, whose are you? You know, what does it take for you to be okay? Because, you know, we believe, most creative people, we always believe that, hey, if people really knew me, if they really knew the woundedness that I've been through, if they really knew who I really was, that nobody would love me. And that's a lie. And the enemy comes with the provision. He says, you know, you got to make it on your own. You'll never have enough and all this kind of stuff. And that's a total lie. You know, God's provision. We just talked about that. And then the last thing about just performance, you know, the enemy's always, just like he did for Jesus, he's like, throw yourself off this building and show everybody how great you are. And he tries to get us with the pride thing, you know, thinking that we can do this whole thing ourselves, when in reality, it's really all of us, all of our creativity is dependent on the Lord. And so it's learning to overcome those lies. I find that most of the roadblocks that happen in people's lives, either creatively or spiritually, are the result of a lie that's been implanted either by some sort of traumatic experience they walk through, or just out of sin, you know, or out of just a situation that the enemy set up for them. And we begin to believe the lie of the enemy instead of the truth of God's word. And that, you know, because of that, we create this whole little world, if you will, of confusion and being stuck, I just call it. And that's really what the Lord wants to, through the Unlocking the Heart of the Artist book, through everything that we do at the worship studio, we're trying to realign people's understanding of what it means to be creative in the kingdom so that we can walk in all the fullness that God's got for us.
Amen. Now, how can they get your book, my brother?
You can go to theworshipstudio.org, and there you can, you know, go to our resources page and get it there. If you're an Amazon customer, you can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere, those kind of places, and get it as well. We actually just came out with a new book, too, that's the Unlocking the Heart of the Artist Experience Guide. And it's a 244-page book. It's a lot bigger than my first book. And what it does is it takes the book, every section in the book, and it puts art projects as well as journaling exercises, discussion questions. It puts all that together in this journey for people to go through, you know, as they're going through the unlocking process. And we find that most people, while you can definitely read this by yourself, I mean, it's perfect for that, we're finding that most people are actually taking the book because I've got small group questions at the end, and it's a perfect excuse to get creative people together in your church or just at your house and begin to form what we call a creative community. and just begin to talk and go through this process of unlocking together. And out of that, that's where the dreaming comes. That's where the, wow, what if we begin to do this at the church? What if we begin to do this in our community? What if we begin to do an outreach or did this kind of show? We've got a group of artists that just did a show at a hospital over in Greensboro, North Carolina. Just an incredible move of God over there and with art and all this kind of thing. And it's coming out of these creative communities that are forming out of people reading the book and just getting a vision for what God wants to do. So,
amen, amen. Let's take a few moments to talk about the conferences that are going to come up.
Sure.
So tell us about Unlocking the Heart of the Artist Conference.
That weekend is designed primarily as a healing and wholeness weekend. It's a Friday night, all day Saturday, and Saturday night. So we do worship and teaching. We talk a lot in depth about the lies that the enemy brings for us. We give a lot of vision about, you know, what it means to be a creative person in the kingdom. But the crux of the weekend is that we limit these weekends to about 100, 150 people, because every person that comes gets about 45 minutes to an hour of personal, private ministry from one of the healing prayer ministry teams.
Amen.
We work with churches around the country that have seasoned, healthy prayer ministry teams that can, like, you know, healing rooms, that sort of thing, and Sozo ministry. And so, like, the one that's coming up here in Asheville, we just did one in Atlanta back in March. It was incredible. We had, like, 110 artists, I think, from 14 states that came.
Wow.
So the one coming up in Asheville, same format, but everybody will get, you know, we set you up all weekend to Saturday afternoon, get that ministry session. And we just find that when people come, the Lord just begins to prime the pump, and they're so ready for ministry. And we've just had so many testimonies of people saying, you know, this is the first time in 15 years that I've been able to sleep at night, or, you know, I really finally feel like the real me is coming out. I mean, that's,
amen, amen.
That's what we're wanting. So that begins to really come out in the unlocking weekends. And then the Gathering of Artists weekend, which is in September, that is really more skill-oriented. The Lord, part of the mandate that the Lord has on our ministry is to bring master artists and emerging artists together in small formats where they can really learn not only skill development, but also how to engage the Holy Spirit in their creative process. And so Gathering of Artisans is our flagship weekend. It's a Thursday night. You can even come actually Thursday during the day for some intensives, all the way through a Sunday, so it's a four-day event. And this year we're going to have over 50 workshops going on.
Wow.
In Asheville. Everything from fine art, painting, prophetic art, media, video, photography, dance, drama, songwriting, basket making, the fiber art, anything that you can think of, we'll have workshops on. And we really try to, again, bring master artists that are not only great at what they do, but really understand how to engage the Holy Spirit in that process. And then at night, we have worship. Jonathan David Helser and his wife Melissa, their band, are coming this year to lead worship. They're all over the world now leading worship. We're just so honored to have them. And it's just going to be an incredible time. So you can go to, again, theworshipstudio.org and find out about all those weekends, or connect with us on Facebook. We have a huge following on Facebook as well. So,
amen. Now, how long have you been doing these conferences?
This is our third year.
Okay.
And so we're really excited about that. And last year for Gathering, I think we had 120, 130 artists from about 20 states that came. So just, again, getting people from all over the country. I just talked to an artist this morning from Scotland that will be coming. And our plan in 2013 is actually to do a Gathering of Artisans in Scotland to begin to gather artists in the UK. So,
wow, wow. Well, I got some contacts in Scotland. I have an artist there as well. So,
awesome,
yeah,
awesome. So, I'd love to connect with him.
Hey, yeah, definitely. He's from Glasgow. So
That's where we're talking about going. So.
Okay, yeah. He has a castle, actually.
How cool.
Yeah, so I know he's in the middle of selling it. I don't think he's sold it yet, but, you know, maybe that's someone to talk to. Maybe there's a.
That's right.
It's like a resort is what he owns.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But anyway, I'll get you that information. You know, just shoot me an email, or I'll call you back after we finish the broadcast. And
that'd be great.
And get all your information, okay? Now,
wonderful.
Give them some more contact information so they can know how to get a hold of you again.
Yeah, so look us up on Facebook, definitely, under The Worship Studio. You can find us on Twitter as well, and then theworshipstudio.org. You can also go to unlockingtheheartoftheartist.com, which is my book website, and find out more about that. And then also Gathering of Artisans, A-R-T-I-S-A-N-S, gatheringofartisans.com. You can watch videos from past Gathering of Artisans and just get all the different info. We'll start registration for that probably the 1st of May this year and get going. So, yeah.
Amen. Amen. Well, brother, it's been a delight to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you for the invitation.
Hey, no problem. Anytime you want to come back, just have your people contact me again, and we'll get you back on there. There's so many more stuff we can go over. But, you know, probably I'll meet you one day. But if anything, phone call in. We can get you on Rev Media TV, too, next time as well, and do a Skype video as well on this.
Amen.
All right, my brother. God bless you. Thanks again, and we appreciate you coming in on the phone.
Okay, thanks now. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Amen. That was Matt Tommy, and he is author of Unlocking the Heart of the Artist, and he's also he runs the Worship Studio, if you can visit him there as well. He has a lot of good things, and that is so important, my friends. It is so important that we unlock the creativity in us. I'm telling you, I found out I'm not an artist as far as singing. I'm not much of an artist as far as video yet, but I'm getting there. But praise God, when I preach, I know how to unlock that artist in there. And it's about being creative and taking stories a whole different way. And I've had some good compliments on that as well. But I'm telling you, there's something in you, and a lot of things hold you back. There's things of insecurities, of hurt, even selfishness and pride. Addictions, a brokenness, anything that can control you, anything that you can try and control, those things will stump the creative process. Like I told you the other day on our show on Monday or on Tuesday, that when I was talking about the show and just really trying to get some feedback on you and letting you know about it, that the creative process is something that we all have to spend time working on it, and that my family, my wife, actually comes to me all the time and asks me to get creative on ideas for her business or for her work, and I help her. But I'm known as a creative person, I guess, in a way. And we had a very great creative person, Matt Tommy, on the air with us. And again, Unlocking the Heart Conference, that's going to be May 25th through May 26th. Gathering of the Artisans. I think I'm saying it right now. Artisans. And that is going to be September 27th through the 30th. You can go to worshipstudio.org and find out more about it. And God bless you, my friends. And that's going to be our show for the day. We appreciate you tuning in to this special broadcast, and we hope that it's a blessing to you and to your life. We'll catch you next time on The Midwatch. Oh, 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 oh